Today I learned in is a big word, alongside with in medieval philosophy, I learned God is not a taco.
Okay, third time's a charm. Welcome to the Sports Fathers Soccer Trunks, where we discuss various goings-on in the world of soccer in less time than it takes to get a caramel skinny macchiato at a New York Starbucks during rush hour with a newbie barista. I'm your host, Father Kyle Sanders, a priest from the Archdiocese of New Orleans, and here is my co-host.
I am Zach Tucker, a first-year seminarian for the Archdiocese of Omaha, Nebraska.
Have you ever been to New York at a Starbucks?
No, I've actually never been to basically the eastern third of the United States, and St. Louis, where I am right now, is the furthest east I've been. So I'll take your word on the New York Starbucks newbie barista.
Yeah, scary. Anyway, I don't like Starbucks, but that's beyond the point. We're going to talk, we're going to start out with the English Premier League. Last week, there was a Champions League game between Chelsea and Paris Saint-Germain. That was the Americanized version of pronouncing that. I'm not going to try to do it in French because I'll sound horrible. It ended in a tie. The Chelsea fans are never good fans. I'm a Fulham fan, and they're our big rival, and so they've never been kind and nice people. But they made the news because some Chelsea fans were getting on the subway in Paris and basically pushed off the subway right before it closed, a black man, and yelling this, singing this racist song. And racism really isn't anything new in the world of soccer. It's been talked about, and different things have happened to different players on the field. But it seems like it's not getting any better. There's not an intentional building up of the fans to say, hey, this is not a good thing. They're continuing to do it. So Zach, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, like you said, racism has always been and continues to be an issue in international soccer. It came up during the World Cup. It comes up quite often, and as you said, it's usually relegated to the field, relegated to chants, people's signs, stuff like that. I think it's something that is so deeply embedded in supporter culture that it's really hard to root out, which is really unfortunate. As you said, Chelsea fans are not exactly known for being the kindest. Actually, in a discussion I had with a friend earlier in the week, I looked up, I Googled worst fans in the EPL, and I do believe Chelsea was number one on the list I found.
That doesn't surprise me.
I do know friends who are Chelsea fans, so I kind of like to make fun of them for that.
Of course, not
racist in any way, but I think it's something that, it's just so deeply embedded in soccer culture that it's really hard to root out. And I don't know how to root it out. It's an unfortunate byproduct, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it has to do with the semi-thug culture and some, at least in English fan culture. I don't know. I don't know if it's an easy fix. And it seems to only be to black players. I haven't really heard about it being to, Arab players or even Asian players. To kind of continue on this road, although in a different vein, one of the players that has experienced racism, not just in the EPL, but in Italy, is Mario Balotelli of Liverpool fame. And he, of course, in his, conceited self, decided to forego etiquette, good football etiquette, and to concede a penalty kick to whomever the captain chose. He's like, I'm taking it. I don't care what you say. And he was basically pushing down Jordan Henderson, who was the captain at the time. He was called out then by Steven Gerrard as being not being proper etiquette, not very kind, not very. He scored the penalty kick and tied the game and allowed them to continue on. I don't know. What'd you think?
I I am the some of the few fans of Balotelli. I am one of those. I kind of was surprised actually that Steven Gerrard got involved in sort of the mayhem that this caused. He tends to float above sort of the media and when it comes to stuff like this. But I think in professional soccer, a goal is a goal. I, for one, would take Balotelli taking a PK over Jordan Henderson any day. You know, if Steven Gerrard had been on the pitch as captain, I think it would have been different.
Yeah.
He's a phenomenal PK taker, but I can't really fault Balotelli for wanting to score, wanting to win, and he knows he's better than Henderson. That's the general consensus from most people that I've seen.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. Brendan Rodgers was, you know, questioned about this by the media, the manager for Liverpool. Mm-hmm. And he kind of avoided the question about, you know, three or four times and never really gave an answer other than to say, you know, we won the game. So I'm not sure exactly where he stands on it, but I think he's, you know, he's fine with the fact that they won. They're, you know, 7-0-3 in their last 10 matches after sort of a rough stretch. So I don't think he's complaining too much.
No, I mean, that's a pretty good record, being that they've really struggled the first half of the year. And really haven't had strong goal scorers. I mean, Balotelli really hasn't scored since he came into, maybe twice. That was the second time.
Yeah, that was his. Well, he hadn't scored at all until the game just prior to the Beşiktaş game. I'm saying that right.
It's
a Turkish club. I think I heard somebody else say it because I stared at it and went, I have no idea how to pronounce this. But prior to that game, he scored, and I don't remember who they were playing against, but that was his first goal. So he now has two goals in two games. But prior to that, yeah, he hadn't scored anything since coming over. So.
Yeah, I mean, he still is a presence, and that helps the team because he's going to draw defenders. But I don't know if that's as bad a move as Manchester United and Radamel Falcao, who has played just as poorly and was cost a whole lot more.
This is true.
I don't know who should feel worse, Brendan Rodgers or Louis van Gaal. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and move on to our next segment. Wow, that cut off really quickly. I'll cut that out. And MLS is preparing to start their season. They're in the preseason currently. And there is just all these kinds of moves that are going on. I don't think the off season for the MLS has been so active really since I've followed the MLS for about 8 years or so. It's just, there's been so much going on. There's two new teams that have started. There's all of these new players that have come in. And in particular, you think of Toronto FC, who everybody thought was going to be a powerhouse last year, which remained Defoe and Michael Bradley, putting those two together. Defoe didn't really do as well as everybody thought they would. He said he wasn't treated very well by the Toronto fans, and so he decided to go back to the Premier League, which is really funny because it's almost like he retired to America in a sense, because they say that, you know, the MLS is a retirement team, and then he retires from America to go back to England. So I don't know what that says either about Sunderland or the Premier League, but he seems to be doing better at Sunderland than he did at Toronto. And it almost seemed like Sunderland did this trade because Altidore moves from Sunderland to Toronto, which I think it's going to be interesting putting him and Bradley together, because he'll have somebody to feed him the ball. But they've also brought in Italian striker. I can't say his first name, so I'll just say his last name, which is Giovinco. He's this little tiny guy, kind of like an Italian Messi with not as much skill.
I think he's known, and I don't know how to pronounce it in Italian, but it translates to the atomic ant in English, which is awesome. Like, that is a great
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. The atomic ant. So, and And so there's a specific style of football called the small and the tall, where you have a big striker and then you have a small striker that kind of play off of each other. One that has a lot of speed and the other can hold up the play to really play off of each other. And I'm really excited to see how that's going to look, to see if that works out, because that could make MLS soccer a lot more exciting, because sometimes MLS soccer is not exciting at all. We can actually see that play of going back and forth of these two supposedly good strikers, along with a fantastic midfielder to feed them the ball. I think that can prove to be an exciting grouping.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at Jermaine Defoe's struggles, and I didn't watch a ton of Toronto games last season, but it did seem, him and the other guys on the field, they never were quite on the same page. Mm-hmm. And I think with Altidore especially coming in, he's played with Bradley on the national team.
Yeah.
There's already a certain level of chemistry that exists there that we've seen in their, national team play. So I think that bodes well for Toronto FC fans. And then, Giovinco is just going to be, he's fun to watch. He's going to bring some Italian spice to the MLS, I think.
Yeah, a different Italian. I mean, we've had like DeVaio and a few other Italian players, but he's got something, supposedly what they say, that he's got something a little bit different from them. But then we also have two new franchises. One of them is an old franchise that's moving up, basically progressing to the next level, Orlando Football Club. And but they're getting some new players. One of the new players that they got was Aurelien Collin from Sporting Kansas City. They also picked up the former wonder kid from Brazil, Kaká. And I'm excited to see what he can do in the United States. And then of course also the strange the Breck Shea. I don't know how to describe him.
He's a unique individual. We'll just say that.
He is. I mean, he's an artist, and he really struggled in the English Premier League and didn't really do well at Stoke, and did fantastic when he was at FC Dallas. So I'm hoping that coming back to the United States will kind of jumpstart his career, because I'm a fan of him. I really like the way that he plays. I like the kind of feel that he has, and I hope that he does well. So that's the other one. Then we have a brand new team, which is called Manchester United Light.
Perfect. Otherwise known as New York City Football Club. But yes, Manchester Light.
So the parent company of Manchester United started a team in Sydney and also here in New York. They have brought in some fantastic players. David Villa, who is also like a little ant and can score goals just out of nothing, as we saw even in the World Cup, the one goal that Spain scored, David Villa came on. Of course, you've got the pretty boy from the United States, Mix Diskerud, who is also coming to the United States, and then possibly Frank Lampard. Nobody ever knows. That's because there's this big confusion as to he was supposed to come, but he was loaned to Manchester City. But what was that all about? And does he actually want to come to the United States? And nobody really knows. And that's fun. I would like to see Frank Lampard here, but
Yeah, I mean, he retired from Chelsea, and the rumors were he was coming to the United States to play, and then he signed with Manchester City, and that was a whole uproar, especially with Chelsea fans. And he's actually played quite well for Manchester City. He's got 5 goals in 15 games or something like that. So I don't think Manchester City would like to see him go before the end of the season.
It appears to be
what's happening. According to, let's see, this is The Guardian, Lampard's contract with New York City FC starts August 1st. So that would be after, I believe, after the Premier League finishes. So he'll be finishing the year with Manchester City and then coming across the pond.
And then taking a vacation, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Because they don't finish. I mean, they finish in May. So.
So that'll be time to get out of shape before coming into the MLS.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. Why August? I don't know. But yeah, that whole thing is interesting, and to see how that plays out over the next maybe 5 or 6 years, and if, you know, Man City brings in, you know, loans players to NYCFC to see, you know, how that's going to work. And, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, the talk is that you have the MLS brand and then you have the Man City brand, and you now have two brands in the same team. That's going to be, that'll be monetarily interesting. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm hesitant and loath to see the MLS turn into a sort of feeder into the EPL. I would much rather that it stays and stands on its own as a separate professional league where it doesn't become, you know, you play in the MLS to get teams from the EPL to look at you and bring you across the pond.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that's not sort of a foreshadowing here of what we're seeing.
At the moment, that hasn't really worked for us. Jozy Altidore, Michael Bradley, Breck Shea, you know, we're sending people over in there and it's not working. So, so at least at the moment, that hasn't been a successful part of the MLS. And it seems the fact that they're bringing all of these players back, we'll talk about that a little bit later, hopefully, but, they're bringing all these players back, that they're really just trying to set themselves up as something bigger, and they're really willing to spend the money for it.
Right.
Speaking of spending money, the Los Angeles Galaxy, to replace Landon Donovan, and David Beckham, together as one, they're going to bring in Steven Gerrard, who is retiring from Liverpool. So Lampard is one thing to leave Chelsea, because Chelsea brought him in when he was like 19-20 and had already been playing for a previous club before he came there. But Steven Gerrard has been at Liverpool his entire career,
and now he has to retire and play for the Galaxy.
Yeah,
it's Stevie G is stabbing me in the heart right now. I'm excited to see him come over. I think it's going to be really fun to watch him. I support Sporting Kansas City as well, so it will be cool actually, because since Sporting has moved divisions this year, we'll talk about that in a bit probably. Mm-hmm. Sporting will actually play Galaxy in regular season games, so there's a good chance that we'll see Stevie G active at Sporting's complex in the great city of Kansas City in the Midwest here. So
yeah, that would
it is unfortunate that he had to go to the Galaxy of all teams.
Well, the way that it works, I mean, it's a larger market, and he's a larger market person. So he's not going to go. He's not going to go to a Columbus. He's not going to go to a Kansas City. You know, he's not going to even go to somewhere like a Portland, because it's just not, you know, the brand is not going to work as much. Well, you know,
he's been the face of Liverpool for years. So
that's a whole other thing. You know, the economics of the MLS. We're not going to talk about that.
That's a whole can of worms.
But you know, Kansas City, I'm really excited. Of course, we're moving into better competition, I think, in the West. It's going to be exciting to play Los Angeles, Kansas City, Real Salt Lake, Portland, to play these teams on a regular basis, because I feel like they have the better talent, at least right now. That might change in maybe 1 or 2 years with these new teams, you know, Orlando and New York. But they, on the whole, it seems that the West has a greater talent pool to move from. And especially like their younger players that they're able to bring up through the ranks, the homegrown players seem to be better in the West. And so you get to see some of the young talent in the MLS. So I'm excited about that.
Absolutely. I think it will initially have somewhat of a negative impact on our overall record, because we will be playing harder teams.
But, yeah,
you know, if you want to improve at anything, you're going to compete against someone who's, in a sense, better than you so that you can improve. So I'm really excited to see how Sporting does in the West, and excited to play some of these, you know, the MLS power teams, like mm-hmm. you said, Seattle, Portland, LA. It makes for great competition.
Yes. And I'm also excited that Roger Espinosa has returned. We have needed since Yuri Russell moved back to Spain. We were sorely in need of a defensive midfielder. Lawrence Oldham, God bless him, just wasn't able to handle that. And Espinosa is like, he's a machine. I mean, he runs all over the field, does everything, is able to pass, able to score, able to defend. You know, he maybe draws a few more yellow cards than we would rather to have. But I'm really excited that he's back. He did pretty well when he was in England. Of course, I mean, the team that he was with got relegated, but that he still did well. They won the FA Cup when he was there under Roberto Martinez. What's the name of the team? Wigan. Yeah, he was with Wigan. And they won the FA Cup when he was on the team, and he was contributing to that. And so that's kind of a good experience for him. So he's had experience playing with better teams, and hopefully he'll come here, maybe not with as fresh a body, but as he did, you know, 3 years ago when he left, but he'll definitely have more experience, and that'll be good for our team, because we got a young team. We lost a lot of our veterans, including Aureli and Colin, to Orlando.
Yeah, I'm excited to have him back. I was reading one article, and it described him as tough tackling midfielder, and I think that phrase sums him up perfectly, which, you know, it does lend him to playing a little bit more on the yellow card side of things, but we need that fire in the midfield, I mm-hmm. think. And he brings experience, you know.
Yeah.
You mentioned our young team. It's very true. I think that's one of the weaknesses of Sporting side going into this season. So getting Espinosa back from Wigan, I think, only spells positive things for Sporting.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that we ever since, I don't know why, that must be, you know, I miss White Puma.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna say that.
Absolutely.
We haven't, absolutely. You know, when he retired, not this past season, but the end of the previous season, you know, our goalkeepers last year, you know, Grunenbaum and, who's the other guy? Oh, yep, see, that's how memorable. That's how memorable he was.
And it's hard to yeah. pass, you know, the White Puma,
yeah.
who's a crowd favorite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perhaps we should introduce people to who the White Puma is.
Yeah,
they're probably looking at their speakers right now, going, "Who is this guy?" And I'm totally blanking on his actual name right now, but he's currently.
Me too.
I'm sitting here going, who is this guy? Because he, you know, he's known as the White Puma.
He's Danish.
But he's currently the head coach, I believe, of the Oklahoma City Energy. Let me look him up really quick.
I can hear the clicking.
I've chanted his name so many times, and now I don't remember his actual name. Oh, let's see. His name is... Wow, this is terrible.
Yeah, we're horrible.
Jimmy Nielsen.
Jimmy
Why
Nielsen.
Could I not think of that? Jimmy!
Yeah.
No, Jimmy was... I don't even remember how long he played for Sporting, but he's...
About
you know,
6 years, yeah.
One of these players that has a great personality. Mm-hmm. He's always interacting with the crowd. Sometimes during the game, when you would rather he was paying attention. But a phenomenal goalkeeper and just someone who was fun on and off the pitch and left some very difficult shoes to fill for his replacements, who unfortunately have, you know, left something to be desired.
Yeah.
At least this past season.
So they actually dropped both of them. Grunenbaum has now become a, he retired. So he has become a color commentator for the Sporting Kansas City, during TV games, I think is what he's going to be doing, or on radio or something.
Oh, wow.
So, he's going to stay in Kansas City for that. But they brought in Tim Melea, who is basically a journeyman, played at Real Salt Lake, played at Chivas. And so he was behind Nick Raimondo and Dan Kennedy, who have both been fantastic goalkeepers. So he will be the backup. Hopefully he won't be used very often because, you know, he doesn't look like he has some very good stats. But you know, he's a body. That sounds horrible. Yep. You know, but he's experienced. You know, he's experienced in the MLS, and so that's something good to have. And he'll John Kempen, who trained with the U.S. national team during the winter training, hopefully we'll be able to learn from him some things. And then they brought in a Chilean goalkeeper, Luis Marin, who played for O'Higgins. Is that not the craziest name for a Chilean soccer team? O'Higgins.
I legitimately thought it was some like second tier English team when you said that name, because I've never heard of him. And you said, O'Higgins. I'm like, is that?
Yeah.
Where in England is that?
No. I don't know if it was an Irishman who moved to, but anyway, he seemed to do pretty well in Chile. You know, in some of the preseason games, he struggled a little bit, but I think it's just because he's with, you know, still learning to play with his teammates. And I think it's a little bit more physical play here in the U.S. than it would be in Chile. So he's probably going to have to deal with that a little bit more. Some bigger guys, certainly during corner kicks and such. But he's given the number one, and Vermes is putting his trust in him. So I'm hoping that that turns out to be a good thing. Our bringing in from South America has had mixed results. What's his name? From Argentina didn't do too well. The striker.
Yep. Oh.
Exactly. We're horrible.
Yeah. See, when you said Central American players, the first person I thought of was Espinoza, and he has now returned.
Yes.
Honduran national.
So. Yeah, he's a Honduran national. Yep, can't remember his name, but he's still on the team. He just hasn't. He didn't really play as well as everybody thought. He was a DP. And then they've also brought in Christian Namath, who had scored a hat trick in one of the preseason games against a smaller club. Not an MLS club, but still to in 30 minutes to score a hat trick is rather impressive. And I'm looking forward to see how Vermes is going to organize the strikers, if it's going to be him and Dwyer together, or they're going to put a three on him on the outside with Peterson. Like I'm interested to see how the formation is going to work in Kansas City. Cause now with Espinosa and Zusi, you kind of have some different options that you can do.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I hadn't considered this until you just said it, but now that Espinosa's returned, we have two guys in the midfield who have played together before in mm-hmm. Espinosa and Zusi. Yeah. So there's going to be some good chemistry there as
Definitely.
Well. And Zusi's known for his... he does score, but he's also known for his enabling.
Yeah.
Some of the strikes and combinations from him and Dwyer last season were just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I think it comes down to what Namath's speed is. Dwyer is he's not a big guy, but he's pretty quick.
Yeah.
So I think if we play the two of them up front, mm-hmm. That's sort of a double quick strike team.
Yeah.
I really like the idea of that. I'm not sure how it would work with an overall setup, but if they're both, you know, those quick, tenacious style strikers, I like our chances getting the ball into the box mm-hmm. from the Zoos. So
yeah, because we've had to kind of, since Kai Kamara left, we kind of struggled as to exactly what our identity is up front. I mean, obviously it's to try to get Don Dwyer to score goals, but who's going to get him the ball has been the question. And Sapong really, like, Sapong isn't intended to be a wide, you know, striker. The way that his body and the way that he moves, that he'd be much better in the middle. But Dwyer is a better goal scorer, so he was kind of relegated to the outside. So I want to see. I'm looking forward to see what Ramiz does, if he has some different formation ideas, because I would personally like to see him to do some of that.
Absolutely, change it up a little bit. I mean, especially now in the preseason, there's not a whole lot to lose by sort of experimenting with stuff like that. Unfortunately, it's hard to catch preseason games. Especially they're not, you know, unfortunately they're not broadcast on ESPN or anything like that.
No.
So I haven't,
or even
haven't
on the website,
anything new.
That's another that, yeah, they don't really, I've had to catch them when they play other MLS teams on the other MLS teams' websites.
Right. I think like they just played Sounders, and I think that was on Sounders' website.
Yeah.
So we're able to catch that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to, I think it opens up for some experimentation, and Vermes is a guy who's willing to do that. Who's sort of willing to, sort of stick his neck out a little bit.
Yeah.
And likes to play aggressive, with his guys. So, I am a fan of Peter Vermes and what he's done. So
likewise. And I'm looking forward to the return of Chance Myers. That was another thing that we're really missing. I mean, they brought in, he did pretty well, the little Brazilian guy that played right back for most of the season. Little tiny guy, really quick. We're horrible at this, aren't we?
Yeah, we really are. we both proclaim to be fans, but we're like, we know all the big names, but not the little guys.
I can picture his face. I just don't remember his name. But he was on loan. So is Antonio Dovale, whom I really loved, but he was on loan again from Spain. So he wasn't going to stay for very long. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Benny Fellhaber is back. Hopefully Mikey Lopez will get some more time and get some more experience, so that he can kind of, blossom into a solid, MLS midfielder. And then there's a lot of guys that, you know, I've never heard of. Saad Abdul Salam.
Yep.
Bernardo Arnor from Venezuela. Claros, they brought in mid-season last year. They just brought in another defender, Amadou Dia. So we'll see how that goes. Lots of new people. Mm-hmm. So excited about that. I think we have run out of time. I wish we could talk more, because we could talk about the U.S. men's national team, but we'll have to do that another time.
We can probably spend an entire podcast talking about the U.S. men's national team, to be honest.
Maybe we can do that in a week or two. We'll do that in a week
absolutely.
Or two. Listeners, look out for that. If you have any thoughts, any things, you're welcome to tweet at us at The Sports Fathers. Zach, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Beggars Son. That's two S's, so it's BEGGARSSON.
And you can find me at Colonel for God on Twitter and Instagram. Colonel as not the popcorn, but the military rank, the number 4 G-O-D. And we hope that you have a good Lent, and we will talk with you later.
So long.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever going to get that to 15 minutes.
Yeah, I don't think so.